It's been quite a day, really. When you're at the front at St. Richard's and everybody else taking part in the music and leading of the worship is far younger than you, and then you get asked to speak at the 24/7 led service, it really does something for your confidence. So thank you for those with the sense of humour to ask me to speak tonight. But it's a lovely passage, Romans chapter 15. Please do keep your Bibles open. Only four verses, but so much in that as Paul writes to the believers in Rome. Some say men take too much time planning or preparing when decorating needs to be done. Some say men are at their happiest studying maps and routes when we could just rely on sat-nav. Where do people get this information from? Surely not any of us can take that time when it's needed. Planning, preparing, getting things right, just making sure that everything is in place, not rushing into something. And we're following in God's footsteps when those sorts of things happen. After all, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. He took time. Nehemiah prayed and asked the king's permission to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. When he arrived, he spent 3 days surveying what the damage was. Solomon waited until the fourth year of his reign before he began to build the temple. Why rush? Well, sometimes, of course, things need to be done quickly. But sometimes, well, hopefully all the time, we give our plans to God, delaying what needs to be done to make sure that it's in accordance with His will. It's good to make plans, all of us, not just the men, women, young people, children, and it's good to put them before God. Some questions for you. Think about these. Have you planned the whole of 2010 for you, your family? Have you planned whether this is a year for change for you? Have you planned your holidays for this year? Have you told your family of something you are definitely going to do this year? Have you decided that you are going to have a good year? It's often said to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. And I'm thinking about St. Richard's when I think of this, because as most of you know, we've got a mission coming up in just a few weeks' time. Thankfully, we haven't just gone into it and decided when it will happen, 6th to the 14th of March, by the way. But we committed it to God at an early stage. We can't possibly hope to achieve anything working together unless that happened. We've had to think about strategies. We've had to think about our own plans. But we can't go too far into the future at St. Richard's. We want to be guided by God in everything we do. So for plans, for ourselves, for our family, in our church life, we must echo the words of Paul in this passage, where he really says, just pray for me. Join me, he says, in earnest prayer to God on my behalf. Verse 30. I hope we all realize by now, Paul believed in prayer. He believed in the power of prayer. He knew that as a follower of Jesus, he needed, and we need too, to commit all our plans to him. Because maybe, just maybe, he might have other ideas. So this year, for your holidays, is it Skegness? Is it Southend? Or is it Spain? Now, don't get me wrong, I've got nothing against Skegness or Southend, but you would probably go for Spain. Cue Paul. Paul had all his plan worked out. Just look before in verses 23 and 24. I desire, as I have for many years, to come to you in Rome when I go to Spain. Verse 25, I am going to Jerusalem. And then verse 28, I will set out by way of you to Spain. He really wanted to go to Spain. I don't know if he had the choice of Skegness or Southend, but he really wanted to go there. But Paul wasn't planning his summer holiday. Paul is probably writing his letter from Corinth, where he collected an offering of money from the Christians of Macedonia and Achaia. He plans to take it to Jerusalem, where Christians were in need. And from Jerusalem, he hopes to visit Rome and Spain. But he still says, pray for me, just in case God decided to change his plans. The indications are that this was a highly dangerous mission Paul was undertaking, with no certain outcome. Later, he will be warned of the dangers that awaited him. You can read about that in Acts 21, verses 10 to 11. He's asking the Roman congregations to pray for him in the spiritual warfare that he will encounter. He invites their prayers that he will be rescued from the opposition of unbelievers and that his service in Jerusalem will be acceptable. Verse 31. But in this last request, there lurks a doubt. Would the conservative leadership at Jerusalem accept money from Gentile Christians? There's no record in Acts that the gift was accepted, although Paul's persuasion and the dire need of the poor probably meant that the gift changed hands successfully. Even so, Paul knew he had to go there with that in mind. Paul's prayer that he would reach Rome for a time of mutual refreshing, though, verse 32, was eventually answered, but not in the way anyone would have expected, or probably in the way that Paul wanted. He had to survive trials in courtrooms, storms at sea. He nearly lost his life through a shipwreck off the coast of Malta and arrived in Rome, eventually, as a prisoner. Whatever Paul's plans were, God knew what was to come before him. In these circumstances, Paul no doubt reminded himself of the words he had offered to the Roman believers, that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him. Chapter 8. Verse 28. William Carey, missionary and evangelist in the 18th and early 19th century, said this: prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. This isn't the godliness that arises from seeking to manipulate God or presenting him with that list of daily requirements that we seem to be so good at. Rather, it's a godliness which springs from sharing our lives with Jesus himself. We spend time with him. Our friendship develops and grows. We know when to ask for things and when to commit those things to him. You see, through our personal godliness and the way we grow and become more in tune with Jesus, we begin to get to love the people that we're sent to work with, to work alongside, to be with, to go to church with, to pray with. And we become to hate the things that he hates as we grow to be more like him. We may begin our life of prayer with a sense of making a big effort to get through to God and win his attention and response. It happens to us all, praying in groups, praying ourselves, wondering what on earth we should say. But in time, getting to know him more and more through our prayer life, through our reading of the scriptures. And before long, we discover that prayer is not all give. In fact, by far, the greater part of prayer is in learning how to receive. Has anybody asked you to pray for them? Perhaps we get bombarded constantly by people just asking that. Pray for me as I do this. Pray for me as I do that. It can be quite a big effort. It can be demanding. It means that we put ourselves in their position and begin to feel their pain. There's a reason why they want us to pray for them in the first place. And then we stand with them and plead for them in the light and warmth of God's love. Prayer is important. This Lent, we're following a series put together by Jonty called Prayer Apprenticeship, Learning to Pray with Paul. It's important that we learn from Paul and others about prayer. It should be a fascinating course. And it's based on Don Carson's book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation. May I commend both the book and the course. And in reading the session, the final session of that series from Carson's book, there's a passage about this passage that we've had from Romans 15. Carson writes this: if you truly confess Jesus the Messiah as Lord, I urge you in his name to pray for me. If you participate in the salvation he has gained for you, if you submit to him who has taught us to pray, if you have tasted his redemption and long to see his kingdom extended in the world, then I urge you to pray for me and my ministry. If any of us know anything of the love of the Spirit, then demonstrate that love in this ministry of intercession to which Paul and Carson in this passage is urging us. If the Spirit is working in you, how can you not love? If the Spirit is working in me, how can I not love the people we minister to, we pray for, we work with and alongside? If you love me, how can you not pray for me? You must always remember that your prayers reflect your grasp of who Christ is and how well you love. We can't do the St. Richard's mission without prayer. We cannot plan and prepare all the services and activities and events of that week without knowing that all our plans have been brought before our Heavenly Father. Through that prayer, we will come to love the people he is sending us to, the people who we aim to visit and get alongside and minister to. We cannot look for new ways to evangelize without having that love and for praying for people. We cannot find how to serve our communities better without prayer. Paul, when preparing for his missionary journeys, asked those who loved the Lord Jesus to pray for him, to pray for his traveling, to pray for protection, to pray for the message that he was to proclaim. He prayed for the people outside the kingdom to whom he was going. Back to those questions at the beginning. What are we facing this year? Members of 24/7, do you have decisions to make about choices, of courses, of direction? How to balance your education with wanting to serve Christ? Ask someone you trust, pray for me. R&B member, are you unhappy in your present job? Do you want to change in direction yourself? Or have you made the wrong choices and want to change? Do you need God's help as you consider a relationship? Ask someone you trust, pray for me. Older person, maybe a visitor here tonight. Do you want to serve God better? Do you want to know God better? Do you want to know God for the first time in your life? Learn to trust him more. Ask someone you trust, pray for me. May we all know God's will and purpose for each of our lives. Amen.